I'm Ginny Witt, and I'm going to be the discussion leader, presenter, facilitator for the next hour. And I'd like to just say, as a kind of introduction and let you know of some of my expectations, that when I work with groups, I will perhaps give a little bit of a lecturette, and mostly what I like is to get groups to see one another as resources and then provide a way for you as resources to share with one another. So that's what I hope to do today, and the topic is women, models, and mentors. And I kind of picked that. I hadn't originally put that on one of the things that I was going to do, but I talked to a lot of people who were here in the last couple of sessions, and we somehow or another moved into this in conversations. So I had done something for a women's conference about 2 months before we came, and I dragged some of those notes along, and I thought I would share a few things with you and then see if you have things to share with one another. One of the ways in which I like to work with a group is to kind of clue you in on the norms that are comfortable for me, and then if they're comfortable for you and we agree on them, we'll proceed in that way. One, that it will be both some information that I throw out as my opinion or experience or what I've received from others, and then that you would participate and share as much as you can with one another. You do always have the option to pass. I really respect that. So if we are going to do something or pair up or and you don't feel that you want to participate, we do respect it. Would like, though, to challenge you to take some risks. I think it's a marvelous place to take some risks by perhaps letting people see some of your ideas and attitudes and opinions. And I usually try to stretch myself about 10% or 15%. I have a bias that as we stretch ourselves, that's how we grow. And about the third norm that I would like to lay out before you would be that we all take ownership for our own ideas, opinions, attitudes, or feelings. I really like that in working with a lot of people. I think it's valid for me to have my own ideas, my own opinions, my own thoughts, and my own feelings. And I can tell you where I'm coming from by expressing those by saying I and me and my, and not everyone or most people, and giving that kind of a weight to it. That leaves open for someone else to have some different opinions and some ideas, and they can say, you know, it's my opinion, or I think this, or I feel that, or my experience has been. So that's kind of what I mean when I say taking ownership for the things that we share. I don't see in this topic that there's anyone who's going to be the one outstanding authority. I do see it as a topic in which every one of us has had some kinds of experiences and probably some attitudes and ideas and opinions. Anybody have any problem working with any of those norms? Perhaps risking, participation, and ownership. Okay. What I'm going to start with when I talk about models and mentors for women, when I was in California for a training seminar in January, I had an opportunity to meet and talk with a woman who has been doing a lot of work with children in terms of their self-concept. And she was willing to spend a considerable amount of time with me sharing some of the studies that she's done and how she's worked with children in helping them to elevate self-concept. And she gave me four different kinds of items that she felt were ingredients that were necessary for a positive self-image. And I want to get to talking about those four ingredients as the effect and need that we have as women for those. And I think I'd like to just give you a little background of what's on the board here and keep that up. I want to keep it there in front of us, and I'd really like to have everyone respond to that in a bit. First of all, the circle would represent the lifespan of a woman. Now, the figures I have here on the right are for 1975. And the life expectancy, the last number down there, is, let me go through these numbers and identify those first. In 1900, the average woman married at age 22. She had an average of 6 to 8 children. She had her last child at the age between the ages of 40 and 50. And her life expectancy was 48 years. Now, these are taken from a book by Dorothy Young Ward, who has done affirmative action for women and has done things in transactional analysis. You may be familiar with the Born to Win, a lot of those books. 1975, and this was a surprise to me, the average age in which a young woman was married was 20. She has had 2.7 children. She's had her last child at the age of 26. And her lifespan is 75 years. The expectancy that is given by the year 2001 would raise that to 79 years. And I think these are kind of important things to look at for getting a perspective. There's another statistic that kind of fits in there, and that is that in the 1960s, approximately one-third of women 21 years old and older were not married. I thought that was interesting. And apparently the women who did marry married at a younger age. And in 1970, I believe, on that figure, it was something like a half were not married at 20, until 21 and after. I think a lot of the explanation for that could come out of couples who are living together who are not married, or that some of the stigma for women of staying single is just no longer around. You know, if you're not married, it's not that something's the matter with you. And I think that may be one of the changes. I'd like to have your opinions on that too. Childhood would take up the first 10 years out of that 50 or 75. That's the way that Dorothy Young Ward has that broken down from her figures. Then from age 10 to 20 would be going through education, adolescence, and from 20 to 30 would be either formal higher education or starting a family. And from this point down here, all the way over to age 65, that large area is listed as the working years available after children are in school. So you begin to see how different that is from women who lived in 1900. Most women who lived in 1900, average, would have just raised their family and their life expectancy would be reached. And we have a whole different kind of a thing happening right now. And it's a tremendous change. And it requires a lot of new decisions and many things to think about in terms of being a woman. Anyone have any kind of response to those statistics or questions? I'm not sure I could answer them, but raise them.
One of the other reasons why women are choosing not to marry is because there's other options available to them that weren't available 10 years ago. I would be interested in knowing how those figures have changed from 1975 to 1978.
I'm sure they have, and I don't have any 1978 figures. Those are the only ones that I do have. And I looked at them and I had some questions about it. It just didn't seem to be, quite true. And then I've lived with those for a while and I kind of try to check them out and see, that may well be. The one other thing that I want to mention in connection with this that I think is significant is that in doing studies of women, they've found that most women have no life plan for themselves after age 45. Have not really considered, what am I going to be doing in this great big empty part of the circle? And maybe you want to try that on for size and just say, whether you have considered some kind of a life plan or not for after. And by life plan, I mean, what am I going to do with those years? What do I want to do with those years? What do I need to equip myself for the things that I might want to do in those years? And we can add to that some kind of Christian dimension and see what implications we might have or that we might draw from one another about planning our life for after 45.
I work on a mental health unit, and I think that's quite true. Over half of our patients are women from 45 to 65 who have no self-worth any longer. They're in the majority depressions or anxiety type people, and it's due to the fact that they have not made any plan after the children left home.
Okay, so their worth, their self-image, mm-hmm. their self-concept was very much related to their role as a mother.
Mm-hmm. Did they ever have it?
Mm, good question.
Did it offer something you lose along the way? Did you keep it up, or did you not have it to begin with?
I think it varied in the case where we have some people were educated and well on their way to a career, then married, had children, and their self-worth, what they started out to do, left. Just was set back so far in priority.
But is that really self-worth, or is that thinking their worth dependent on their children, or dependent on
Oh, very much
job?
So. Their basic self-image is never could have been too swell.
They've given their whole life to their families, and after they're gone, they haven't got anything to live for anymore.
But I wouldn't define that as self-worth.
Well, I think it's very much related. Maybe that in itself is not self-worth, but if you haven't, if your whole life has been towards one thing and all of a sudden you see your children, that one thing, going their own way and not dependent and needing you anymore, you lose your self-worth along with it.
Yeah, self-concept, self-image, self-worth would be, I am worth something when I do this or when I do that, as I see happening very often with mothers. And then there's a different kind of self-worth you're talking about, which is a real inner-directed kind of thing. I did some things on motivation with some of the young women in the village last week. And part of the kind of instrument that we work through, where they list a whole raft of things and make various selections, and after you've done this, provide some kind of feedback. And one of the things that is on this particular instrument, that it shows where you have made choices, whether you are motivated by something within yourself as satisfying or whether it is things that come from the outside. And so there were a couple that had mostly motivators, it pleased someone else, or I was able to be of service to someone else, that most of their motivators lined up on that side that would have been from someone else's needs that they met. One of the neat things about that kind of instrument is if it shows that up, there may be some very real ways that changes can be made. Not easy. I think they are very possible, though. Any more responses to these figures? Okay, then I'd like to move back to those four things that I mentioned that I got from the young woman who is working with children. And these also I've tested for about the last, well, since January, and seeing, hey, how does that fit me? How does that fit somebody else? And I think they're pretty good. I think it's helpful to have some things that are kind of a model, and then you can test how things are going in your own life or someone else's, and it's kind of a way to check in. Four things. If I'm going to have a positive self-concept, one thing I need is to accept myself and to see myself as being unique. And a unique, special, someone who is kind of unlike anyone else. And also to share that kind of uniqueness. To have people recognize my uniqueness and to be able to share my uniqueness. I'll go through these and then if you want to make comments on them. A second one is connectiveness or affiliation. And that would mean being valued by other people, and I would want to acknowledge the fact that I want to be connected and that others are connected with me. And I suppose maybe you could transfer that into the kind of community where I feel I have a sense of belongingness. Third one is power, personal power. And I'd like to describe that as saying that I use power in my own life to make choices, that I use that power to gain resources that I need, skills that I need, that I can develop capabilities. Those are all different kinds of power. The fourth one is that I need models. I need models who represent values, who represent roles, And where there's something kind of in operation as how to sometimes is also very useful in a model. That's kind of this last one of models that I want to focus on here. The definition I pulled out of a dictionary is, a model is a person considered as a standard of excellence to be imitated. We can redefine terms if we need. A mentor, on the other hand, would be more of a wise, loyal advisor. That is the definition that's given in the dictionary. Before I go on with that, any of these others anyone wants to respond to or ask questions about, of the uniqueness, connectedness, power, and model? This woman indicated that when working with children, if a child's self-image is out of balance, if it's low, go take a look at those and see which one of them is out of balance. And that's what I kind of worked with after I had gotten this list. I put them on a little card under my desk at the office. Something comes up and I would go right to them and I'd say, oh, there it is. And that kind of worked well for me. So I've picked that up as an opinion that I am willing to say, yeah, I have an opinion about that. Those are pretty good kinds of categories that are useful to me. Any other responses on those four? What I'd like to do now, then, is if you would just find, for the women, find two other people and pull your chairs together so you're in groups of three. And if the men who are here would want to move over in the back, I'll give you a different assignment. Okay? Right. Yeah. So if you'll find two other persons, and I'm going to give you a little time around this. Oh, but you're going to have fun. You're going to have fun. I want to emphasize that the intent for today is not any battle of the sexes. No way. No way. How many of you were here yesterday when we had the session on sexuality? Because there's some of the things that we'll be doing today that would, okay, that there's some maybe ends from that you might even want to tie up or connect to what we're doing today. No, I don't want this to be necessarily, you know, I gotcha, or whatever kind of game sometimes that we can play with having someone else out there being the they on which we can lay a whole load of negative feelings. What I'd like to do today is something that I did with a group of women, and it was such a positive kind of time spent together that I'd like to give you a little time to even do this. And if you have worked through something in your own group and want to attach to someone else and enlarge it, that's okay too. But I'd like for you to share with one another, women telling each other about women who have been models for you or mentors. One of the things that women are concerned about, and in connection with even the women's movement, is that women do not have a large number of role models, particularly when they've moved out of the home or the domestic or the traditional kinds of activity. And as we move into this one large area and have some choices that may be beyond the traditional kinds of activities, we sometimes have to say, what would that look like? You know, if I do something, what is it going to look like? And I have a number of women who have been role models for me. For myself, I found that there's not one. There's been maybe one role model for one thing and another role model for another. And as you talk about women who have been role models, see if you can identify their behavior. What have they done that has led you to respect them or want to perhaps even imitate them? I'm thinking when I started to work for a National Conference of Christians and Jews, there were about four women who were very different from women that I had known before. They were all women who were professional, who had families, had successfully, I guess if depending on what you mean success, raised their families and had equipped themselves for some new kinds of activity and were doing some fantastic things. One that by following her model, I joined the League of Women Voters, and I began to see things in a very different way around community. There's another one who has been doing some writing, a lot of upfront things with groups. She was a model of what I saw, a woman who was intelligent and capable, could do and be positively influential and a leader with others. And I kind of keep up on what these women are doing currently to see where they are moving now. I had an opportunity to spend some time with Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, who's a neighbor of ours about 3 miles away. And she's been a role model of a gutsy woman who's really going to move in and do things. And I learned things from her. I have my two daughters, who are the two oldest ones, are role models for me. Suppose even my 18-year-old is a role model. She's been running cross-country and running in track meets and is very much for keeping her body healthy and vigorous, and I think that's really neat. That was something that I didn't do when I was younger, and I'm not sure I'm going to follow her role model of running. She has shown me new possibilities, as my older daughters have too. So those are the kind of things, if you can kind of describe though to one another, so you get some sort of sense. And if you have mentors, those also. Okay? And I'll see what I get these men to do.
Do you want to write these down?
No, you don't have to, but I'd like to share some back in the total group.
Hey, I would like for you to share some of the things that you shared with one another. And then when you get finished, maybe the men can share what their assignment was with you. And if you will, no, anybody, tell whatever you think would be interesting or helpful to the rest of us about models or mentors that you've had.
One of the things that we discussed was the relationship that we had with models or mentors, and we kind of decided that a model was someone that you really didn't need to have any kind of a close relationship with at all. It could be someone you're looking at from a distance or viewing from a distance, and her behavior might interest you. But a mentor has a closer relationship with you, a more intimate relationship.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. We had a variety of models. As we talked, we reminded ourselves of another model. Yes, we had a lot of models, and yet we didn't realize specifically they were models as we started our conversation, but there are many characteristics that we might appreciate in other people, and we didn't necessarily want to imitate exactly because we wanted our own uniqueness, but they might have been someone that we respected and enjoyed, or we liked to be like that one. We talked a lot then how we chose our free time and what made us feel good as people. We did. Mm-hmm.
We also talked about how models met our personal needs as we grew. A model in cooking, for instance, a person who excels in cooking or housekeeping or whatever, different stages in our lives, different models.
For sure.
After we got through talking about models and mentors, then we said, well, for Smith, they aren't necessarily women.
Mm-hmm.
We have male models or mentors.
Sure. You know, I my own bias about that is that there's never a vacuum. If I do not have some woman as a model, I'll find one somewhere else. I may find a man as a model. Talking about people, we have read their biographies, sometimes become models. Famous people. Television provides lots of models for our children. And if there are not other models that are powerful, they will be substituted.
Mm-hmm. We also mentioned, too, that models could be negative models.
Yeah, you want to say some more about that?
Well, sometimes you can have a model which is a model for you in some respects, but there are some characteristics you don't care to imitate. But you can also have models.
I had a neighbor like that, who, from living next to her, I knew by looking at the reverse what my model was. Excellent. Some of you would share qualities that were important.
My brother, who is one of my male models, has a power of positive thinking about him. And I'm telling girls, he never is angry. I've never seen him angry in his whole life. And I didn't realize that until just a few weeks ago when I said to my kids, your Uncle Wally has never been angry. And I sat down and talked to him about it. He said he can only remember it two times in his whole life that he'd actually been angry. But I have. I mean, I get angry a lot easier than he does. I don't share that quality, but I admire that in him.
He had a session on anger, about 10 days ago. Anger and conflict.
What are the qualities that a model mentor, I mean, I think she spoke to me, this woman, was just acceptance of her place in life, wherever she has been or is right now. She said she accepted being a mother during those years and really learned and grew from that and moved into being a teacher, and now she's a principal at school. And it's really neat to hear her talk. She's always drawing on things she learned before. And that's why she said it's so neat to just accept where you are right now and be happy in that and learn from it.
Okay, so even if you know that there's this part out there, if all that I might do would be just trying to get ready for when I'm maybe past 30, I might miss out on living right now. Good point. One of the things I learned in group process stuff is just wait. Mm-hmm. And there'll be somebody who can't stand it and they'll talk.
I think one of the things I discovered, one night we had a lawyer and his wife and my husband were talking all evening about their childhood and, you know, what happened in their homes. And all of a sudden I discovered that although I never talked about mine, that my model was my parents, and it was such a secure, happy kind of time, even though we were very poor compared to the other three families, and maybe not as educated as the rest, yet somehow it came through to me all of a sudden that my models for my own home were very, very crucial in what happened to how I feel about myself. Like, I didn't even have to talk about myself. I felt content because I was secure in what had happened, you know, during those years.
Mm-hmm. Something that just flashed through my mind that I discussed with other people and didn't realize until recently is that oftentimes, whether you realize it or not, when you marry, you model your marriage after your parents.
Mm-hmm. Or don't.
There are some things that are so ingrained in you that you just accept. You know, for instance, one seminar I went to, the leader said that he was raised in an Italian family, and his wife was raised in, I can't remember, Swedish background or something, and her father always took out the garbage. And in the Italian family, no man would pick up the garbage, and they fought about that for years and years and years, you know? And you just don't realize how ingrained some of these things are in you.
For sure.
That same evening that we were talking, I was thinking of this because I told my group that I think my mother has been my model to me in many ways of what I've done. That same evening, this girl said she just didn't know how to raise her children because she came from a very, very rich family. They always had a governess or something. Her mother, she had no model for how to care for her own children. And it's just very, very difficult for her.
Yeah, we take some of those things for granted and think that's just knowledge I was born with.
Yes, yeah.
And we've gotten it by osmosis of some sort.
And I never thought about that until she talked about it that night, that sure, I was lucky.
Another thing that was brought out is that it's very important for children to have good models.
I got that down the list here to get at in a few minutes. Yeah. for sure.
My husband is a Navy man, is a retired Navy man, and we've lived all over the world. And I realized a few years ago that my oldest child didn't have a luxury of a model like I did as I was when I was a child. And I didn't realize how much this one person had influenced my life. She was, I just always figured if anyone could be like Margaret Jane Dewar, it was the finest thing in the world.
What did Margaret Jane Dewar look like?
She was really a very average looking person. She had flaming red hair.
I meant more, what in her behavior would you have chosen?
Well, it was just that when I was a very small child, she took me under her wing. She was going to college at the time. I was about 5, I think. And she was, now that I look back on it, she was a very fine model. She was a very gentle, warm, loving, understanding person, and she loved children. And she used to take me to the ice cream store and buy me ice cream, and she used to, I love music very much, and I think she was probably my very first influence in music, because she recognized that I had an ability clear back there, and she used to bring her boyfriends in, and they were my audience. I love music very much, and I think she was probably my very first influence in music, because she recognized that I had an ability clear back there, and she used to bring her boyfriends in, and they were my audience. She'd have me sing Silent Night and White Christmas and all the songs that were popular then, and I gained a great deal of confidence. And later on, her mother, who was a school teacher in the elementary school that I went to, got me more involved in the music program, and that's how
I... So there were a lot of ways she at least exposed you to some things you would not have gotten.
And I think her warmth and genuine hearing. Mm-hmm. Love, and she was a Catholic, by the way. She didn't belong to my church, but she really made an influence on my life, and I realized that all through my life.
Well, all of our kids have had some adults that have been models for them. And in our community, there's one couple who have been surrogate parents to rafts of kids. They headed up the youth organization, and if there were things our kids wanted to talk over, they would often go to that couple. And I've been very, very grateful for what they modeled in terms of possibilities. And I guess I see that also as an opportunity for each of us, wherever we are, to be able to be model for others.
One thing I wanted to comment, there's a very neat book called Culture and Commitment by Margaret Mead. And she says that always in human history, a person could look to their father and their grandfather or their mother and their grandmother for a model on how to get on in the world. And if you could simply follow in the footsteps of your father or your grandfather and so on like that, you would learn how to succeed in the world. And she says, now we've come to this terrible crisis. For the first time in the history of the world, she said, things are changing so fast, and the world is changing so fast, and knowledge is being accumulated at such an incredible rate, that a child can no longer look to his parent for a model in many areas of living that will prepare the child in any way to live in the world that child has to face. The world will be totally different by that time. And they say, and she says, it's even worse now. It's even more complicated now by the fact that parents, being older, tend to become entrenched in certain ways of thinking, and in a sense are less able to handle the change, the influx of new ideas than the children. And in fact, the children are more able than the adults to deal with this changing world. Mm-hmm. And she said, this is the first time in the history of the world it's ever been this way. It's hard to find a model.
Yeah, I agree.
I would think that's where we have the advantage, really. Because we have our Christianity to provide us with something that can withstand all change.
Right. That's why I said in certain areas of living. That's right.
And you are, and with that, there's the assumption that the people who are Christian are somehow living that out in a way that it is a positive model.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I have a bias around that, too, and that is that a Christian day school with excellent teachers can be fantastic. A Christian day school that does not have a excellent teachers, or teachers in which there may be a great deal lacking, can combine whatever those inadequacies are with the idea of this being Christian, and that's another whole
thing. We live in a town of about 100,000, and I'm going back about 22 years ago when I was in sixth grade. And I remember my Catholic friends going to the private school, and they were trying to get more and more children to go so they could support this private Catholic school. 2 weeks ago, I went to this school with my girlfriend who had enrolled her child, and she had to be put on a waiting list. Now, everything's basically the same, but she wants her child and another girlfriend the same to be in this Catholic school, because there aren't any Lutheran Christian schools, to learn this. They just got back from Greece, so she's starting in sixth grade. But that just blew my mind.
Are you saying then that she had such a positive experience herself that she wants her children to have the same?
She didn't want her to go to the public school,
mm-hmm,
because of what, you know, you were saying, what Lutheran was saying. Mm-hmm. That she feels she'll get so much more out of it.
It's that value system. Mm-hmm. In addition to reading, writing, and arithmetic,
definitely, because I know if I don't want my children going to some of the schools around my house either.
That's true.
Jean?
Yeah.
I've heard him talk a lot about models and everything. I think models are the easy part. I'd like to know what they discussed about mentors.
Okay.
Models, that'll take you
mentors
to one plateau, but if you want to get above that, you need to have a mentor.
We had a hard time thinking of mentors that were just mentors. All of our mentors were models that were mentors in some aspect of our life.
Okay, you sort of, they combined for you. Yeah.
I'd just like to get back to the models and the Christian day school. I know some teachers that are in public school that would be the model, ideal model for anybody you ever want to name. And probably they have a greater challenge because they don't have the security of the Christian quotes, you know, to protect them. And I think that their witness to their faith in life is a much, much, well, I won't put comparative, just positive. Mm-hmm. It's a really tremendous impact on children.
Yeah, that's important to put side by side.
When we talk about being in the world and not of the world, it seems to me that the Christian in the public school system probably has one of the most fantastic potentials for witness that you could ever name.
Yeah, and as parents, too, if we're in a community where a school needs some support and some modeling of parents. Yeah, that as parents, if we choose one in which we can take the role of being an influence for things that may be absent there, that's a...
Except it's very difficult in the large system.
Yeah.
We chose last year to keep our grade in the public school system, even though it's very difficult. We chose to keep to continue to send our child to the public school system, which is now in such a mess financially, racially. You know, but the point is, if we're not in the system working, even though we have such a small voice, because such a big system, yet at least it's a voice that would not be heard if we considered getting him a scholarship into a private school and decided, no, we're going to stay and we're going to fight it, even though it's, you know, difficult.
Yeah,
Excuse me, I'd like to mention another problem. As someone who ran a mini Christian day school, I have run a kindergarten and a church for 12 years. And one of the problems is that you simply don't have the money to run those schools, and you've got to make a lot of sacrifices on equipment and quality of teaching because you don't have the money for the stuff. So mm-hmm. even though you've got the values, and I had, gosh, I had Catholic people bringing the kids there because they wanted that religious education. But it really is a problem to be able to keep up to the kind of quality standards and give the kids the cognitive learning. And I guess our decision was, you know, hopefully we can implement a value system at home. That's one thing we can do, but we cannot give the volume of knowledge sort of thing that the public school can give. So if you can counter the value system.
Yeah, there are just so many places that this leads into, that you could go on and on. And my hope is that maybe you've been stimulated enough that you'll pull together with someone else over coffee or whatever and begin to explore even more. The idea not only of who your mentors and your models have been, but that you may continue to think about that. And I've increased my list significantly since the first time that I did this. I got an aha about something. Oh yeah, I got that from so-and-so. And I would really encourage you to keep that going. I want to get to the men and get their sharing for us. One other?
Don't you think we can't have too many models? I know a woman, she has so many models that I'm not sure who she knows who she is. Mm. She does excellently in many areas, but I don't feel she's her own self.
Right.
And I feel that she sees someone and she wants to be exactly like that person and she copies. And I just feel sorry for her. And yet she's an outstanding woman when you look at her, but I know her inner self a little more, and there's a lot of fear. So I think we have to watch so we don't have too many models.
Okay, and her models would be towards success and achievement,
yes.
Perhaps in what someone else has done.
Mm-hmm.
And if there is a kind of a comparison thing then that I have to get up to here, I can really build in some very real...
I'm not sure she'd just say, yeah. I'm just myself, I set myself without just striving so much.
Okay, good balance.
We still have to be ourselves, even though it's all
oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what we're talking about is part of the reality of being ourselves, part of the reality of life is that whether we're aware of it or not, there are people around us who we are picking things from that become models. I'm going to just let this go for a few minutes here and get back because I'd like to have the men share with us. One of the things I asked them to do, or the thing I asked them to do, was to talk together and share back to the women here things that they think as men they would like to have women know about men.
We left at Steve's point. Men have the same fears and leadership roles that women have. We would desire to be as perceptive and sensitive as women generally are. Frustrated with the inability to be truly sensitive, we desire women to develop themselves rather than work towards specific goals. We have continuing difficulty in expressing our feelings. And some men are willing to be mentors to women.
One of those I think we could explain a little better than
okay.
it came out,
okay.
And I would need some help on this. The third one there about women or men wanting women to develop themselves rather than. I don't think that's what I heard. Chuck, you were bringing the point up. Could you maybe explain it a bit? It didn't come out right to me.
I guess what I was trying to say there is if women develop themselves, well, I guess the best thing I can compare it to would be marriage. A goal shouldn't be to be married. A goal should be develop yourself until things go right and then marriage takes place. And the same way in a business or industry situation, if you develop yourself, opportunities come up. You don't have to point towards a specific thing. I guess it's kind of the subtle difference between assertiveness and aggressiveness. Aggressiveness is singleness of purpose, it's a little too strong, while assertiveness is doing your thing.
Would you state the same for men, that you would like men to develop themselves rather than even
absolutely.
A specific goal? But no, it's like that.
Okay.
Well, she assertively.
But not the same.
There was one other there that sort of rang a bell with me, and I don't recall. I think it was the last one. What was that?
Some men are willing to be mentors to women.
Okay.
I think maybe there I go again. That was one of my things. I think the difference between models and mentors is tremendous. There is no emotional relationship necessary between a model and for modeling purposes, but a mentor relationship, there's a lot of emotion involved, just like parenting. And some people aren't suited for being parents, and some people aren't suited for being mentors. And I think it's very important, because there's going to be a break in the relationship. It's a risk.
How about the one where you mentioned about men wanting to become more sensitive, and you implied that women had sensitivity that men would desire? Would men be willing to be mentors, have women be mentors for what they see women may have that they would like to grow in?
I'd like to speak to that a little bit.
Okay.
I find myself standing in awe sometimes. I will be approached by someone with something, a problem or a statement or whatever, and I'll listen to that and I'll respond back. And beside me, let's say, will be standing a woman very commonly who will say later in private, "No, you missed the whole point. You didn't understand." And I stand in awe of that, and I wonder, do I have that sensitivity, or did I when I was a child, and did it get beaten out of me? Did I lose it somehow? Or is that in the nature of manness and womanness that just is simply a difference? I stand in awe of that often. I don't know if that's generally true for men.
Are you talking about this sensitivity specifically, or are you speaking about verbiage? Because I've learned that a lot of times we're talking, we think we're other people are understanding, and they don't.
Well,
simply because of the difference in the way we understand language.
Yeah, I'm talking about communication. And as Jenny said in her listening, I'm talking about the whole method of communication, verbal, nonverbal.
Grabbing the meaning
right,
underneath.
Getting the meaning, that's what I'm trying to get at. And I find women commonly much more capable of doing that than me, and I don't know if that's generally true.
Anybody have any hunches around that? Of,
sure.
I
we seldom get to speak. We're very good at
this. You go into a living room with your group of friends and see how much of the conversation is around sports, politics, you know, the whole thing that is a man's world, and how many times the man dominates those conversations, you know, and then you can understand, you become very good at listening.
There's a woman in Chicago by the name of Helen LaPlata, who is at Roosevelt University, and she's done a number of significant studies, I think, that are very interesting, because she's taken middle-class women, and before the women's movement started to do some of this. And one of her things I've heard her when she speaks said that how much women need to have other women to talk to, and particularly through those years when they're raising family. And if women get together and have what they call a coffee clatch, it's looked down upon as they're exchanging things. And it is very much the same kind of thing that men do when they have conferences. So she was suggesting a whole new name for, I forget, it was really kind of a classy name for being able to get together and talk over.
I see men as involved in more exact sciences, in exact sports. Really is exact, because they can come out with exact statistics. Women have more of a sensitivity to describing things, a feeling, and this is a general sense. I'm not saying all women, but it seems to me that I know that I can have a relationship with a man, and the exact fact will come out, not the descriptive feeling of that fact.
You just struck a chord with me. I wonder if the law would have been developed by women rather than by men, instead of having vast bookshelves full of law books and precedents and references and citations and all that. I wonder if our court system would be totally different. I wonder what it would look like if women had developed it. Does that strike anybody?
Yesterday, those of you who were here know that we did lists of of characteristics of men and then characteristics of women. I was in a management training session with executives and people in management from all around the country with Dorothy Youngward, the one again who's in TA. And what she did when they put lists like that together, she had the men's list and the women's list and had them identify it in terms of, if you're familiar, of TA, whether it came from the parent, the adult, or the child. And after she did both lists, then she drew those three circles. And the men had a big parent up here, and it kept getting smaller. And the woman had a great big child, and it went this way as she ascribed the characteristics. I don't know if that makes sense. If you don't know TA, it probably doesn't. But it was really a very useful kind of thing for people in management to see what dynamics were often going on.
These were lists
as managers
of
the descriptions, such as we did yesterday.
Descriptions of
if
what?
A woman would be, say, for instance, emotional. Emotional would be a child trait.
Descriptions of men and descriptions of women.
Descriptions of men and women. And then to all the men's descriptions, looked at them in terms of that parent-adult-child model. And if you don't, it's really not too good to talk about if a lot of people don't know it.
Somebody made the comment or the statement, would men choose women as their mentors? And I wonder if anyone wants to talk about that.
Okay, men, anybody want to give an answer to that?
I wouldn't care to talk about it.
And we respect your right. Anybody else?
I have one woman friend who is a mentor to me very much in certain areas. She happens to be a mentor to me in the spiritual area and in community development. I am needing in my life a mentor around business and things of that sort, and I don't at present see any women around who can be a mentor in that area. Maybe there are. I'm sure there are, probably. But certain areas I...
So you're open to that. No one here is open to that. If there's something you're looking for in business, and anyone here?
One thing that I've been talking about this I found very interesting in the mental health field is when there are men and women patients, which is about 50-50 that I work with, the male patients look towards the female therapist as their mentors almost all the time.
Is that a mother image? Yeah.
I don't know, not necessarily, because it could be a man in his 60s or 70s that would come to a very young gal. And
do you have any hunches as to why that is?
They are more comfortable talking about, they've stated this, we've done a survey because it's so obvious. They have stated over and over, all ages of men, from teenage boys to retired citizens, that it is easier and they are more comfortable talking to women about sensitivity and emotions than they are about men, because they were raised that is not proper, and their self-image is really threatened when they talk to a male therapist.
Women are more open about it.
The one thing that came up in that listing we did yesterday too was competition seemed to be more prominent, and I have a notion that as women get into more of the jobs in which they are paid, competition is going to become something that women maybe one of the lesser qualities that will become more prominent in women. I hope as women we can use some more productive ways of working with one another.
I'm thinking too, we kind of perpetuate in our children too, like a man will say to his son, "Wow, you really caught that ball well out in the field." And mom might say, "How did it feel to catch that ball?" We perpetuate the way we men, it goes on all the time.
Yeah, one of the ways we probably can see how things are going with our children, or for even for ourselves, say, what are the things that women get kind of recognition for in our society? And if we begin to start listing some of those, we can begin to see how we're setting up patterns for behavior, or how behavior, what kind of behavior was rewarded at your house? There's some interesting. I put together a list this morning. I wrote some things down in case we had time for it. I don't know if I can even find it. But if you want to take that little question, for instance, probably as a woman, I get some kind of reward for letting somebody take care of me. So I can be submissive. I really get a reward for that. Very often that is something that I do get a reward for. that I don't have to make decisions if I let somebody take care of me. So that's kind of a reward. And I don't have to think if I let somebody else make my decisions. I may be someone who is admired and give compliments and get compliments if I try to be pretty and quiet and soft or whatever. Those are maybe rather stereotyped responses. But I would suggest sometime that you do that. See what kinds of things are rewarded.
While you were saying that, I was just thinking over my own childhood and thinking, well, as a woman, I must have been somewhat culturally deprived because my mother did very little rewarding. And my father did rewarding, but it was not for particularly feminine things.
Mm-hmm.
It was for excellence in school or for achievement or something.
Were you an achiever?
So I guess that's an achiever.
Mm-hmm. I think Lois is gone already, but I'm sure that in the brokering family, there was reward for creativity, recognition for creativity. You just cannot be around that gang without knowing that that was something that the family placed a high value on, and therefore it was rewarded, and not only for the sons that are here, but for the daughter that they have also. Yes?
You find a sense of frustration that we're so wise to look back and see what we should have done?
Say that one more time, please.
Our children are relatively grown.
Mm-hmm.
Now I learn how I should have been a parent.
Oh. Okay.
Is that an intergenerational thing, Patty? You look back and evaluate and you wonder, and in spite of all that, the next generation somehow seems to survive and thrive.
Yeah, I suppose if there is value in looking back, if by looking back I become aware of something I didn't know, and that will help me make decisions for those things ahead. And that's, otherwise I don't see any great use in looking back and feeling either bad. That's guilt, which is terribly non-productive.
Yeah.
I think everyone felt that way, though, because as a mother, unless you've been in the nursing field or something, those things don't come naturally, like my mother told me they did.
Yep. I have some little sheets here that, if anyone would like them, we didn't get around to them. But I think they have some interesting information on them.